Oh, hey there.
Hi.
So we have the next dates for our September Acquired Taste by Moonlight live Patreon shows.
Oh, I love doing those live Patreon shows because we get to see the faces of our taste buds and it's just like a good wholesome evening.
So the next dates for our $5 tier members are September 9th and September 29th. Mark those nights off. We're tentatively going to do them at 5 p.m. Eastern time, but we're going to do a poll to see what times people really want them done because we've been getting some feedback that sometimes they're a little late.
Yeah.
So put the evenings of September 9th and September 29th in your calendars and then keep an eye out on social media and we'll give you those exact times.
Come hang out. Bethany and I may or may not have a special musical performance scheduled for September.
Ooh, September. And to become a patron and get access to these live shows, go to patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your spa visiting, Triscuit cracker eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My anxiety is at an all-time high for absolutely no reason, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your horror convention attending, hotel review writing, my cats prefer our cat sitter to me, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
a good old-fashioned haunted house story. We're heading into spooky season. It's September as we release this, and I wanted a kind of like haunted house story that I hadn't heard before. Not like Amityville, not like, you know, whatever. I wanted something good and new, and there is a story from an apartment in Brooklyn that is creepy and haunted, and I'm going to tell you all about it.
Bethany!
What?
You were supposed to do a lifestyle topic this week, Bethany.
I know, but I decided I didn't want to. And then I didn't communicate that to you because I also wanted you to do a weird topic. And so I've sort of orchestrated this whole thing. And plus, the lifestyle topic we had talked about just felt a little bit too raw. So I'm going to probably do that next week. Sorry, I pulled one over on you on purpose. And I love you and I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I am talking about people who have found strangers living in their house.
This is my favorite topic.
I know it is. I know it is. And we've talked about it before, but I was perusing the Googs and I found a whole bunch of new stories that have come out. And I'm really excited to talk about it with you.
I am so excited about this. This is my biggest fear, is that someone's been living in the house.
Yes.
It pings this part of my brain that is the very epicenter of, was that your a sparkling water you just opened?
Bethany, I'm so sorry. I have seven cans of liquids in front of me because like my anxiety is so high for no reason and my skin is itching me and I'm like thirsty because the only thing that is palatable to me right now is Triscuit crackers and I don't know what's happening.
We need to talk about, honey, what is happening? What is, before we started recording.
I don't know.
You said that you just are, your anxiety is so high. And you don't know why it is. And you said you think it's because you went to the spa. Explain this.
Okay, so there's this amazing spa in New Jersey that it's called Sojo. It overlooks the New York Manhattan skyline.
Right.
It's incredible. They have all these amazing hot tubs and pools and just like cool things to do and hang out during the day. You can get green juices. You can get a massage, all sorts of stuff.
Great.
I think I did something to my nervous system because in one section of the ladies' locker room part of the spa, they have the steam room, then they have the dry sauna, and then right outside of those two rooms, they have these pools of all different temperature. So they have like a 7-foot ice cold plunge pool, and then they and then they have another pool that's like 60 degrees, and you're supposed to go in that. And so I spent like a significant amount of time hopping between being very hot and very cold. And I think I've done something to my nervous system. And now I'm itchy all over my body and my scalp. I cannot sleep at night. And also the only thing that my brain wants to eat is Triscuits.
Do you have really sensitive skin?
No.
Mm-mm. I feel like you do, Kathleen, because more than anyone I know, you get skin-related like things flaring up constantly.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't have like sensitive skin. I just have fungus issues.
This is wild. And so you've been stressed out and anxious ever since you went to the relaxation spa.
Yeah, exactly. What is wrong with me? I'm so fucked up that I went to a place where people go specifically to relax and I left thinking that the world was ending or something.
Do you think you spent too much time in your own head?
Maybe.
What did you think of while you were in there?
I don't know. Well, I was thinking about murders when I was in the steam room, because you know you always see a murder where there's like a girl in the steam room and then there's so much steam she can't see the person next to her and all of a sudden you're dead.
Totally, like at the end of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, somehow a fisherman ends up in her college shower. Okay. And so she's like taking this super hot steamy shower and then, a spoiler alert, you know, someone writes like, hey, I still know what you did, and then the fisherman jumps out of her mirror.
So horror movies, I just read, are one of the only genres that were thriving during the pandemic.
Totally. Mm-hmm. People need it. We've done a whole episode on how horror and slasher films can help with anxiety. So I just quickly Googled, can change in temperatures cause anxiety?
Yeah.
This says anxietycenter.com, which is what we call my apartment. Uh-huh. Can heat trigger anxiety? Yes. Heat can trigger anxiety. Hot temperatures cause an increase in stress hormones, which can cause an increase in the feelings and symptoms of anxiety. If you're worried about anxiety feelings and symptoms, that worry can compound a problematic anxiety.
God.
So
I did it to myself.
Yeah. You may have done it to yourself.
I know. It felt so good at the time. And there was this girl that was there alone. I was with my friends, but they don't like the steam rooms and the saunas. So there is this girl who was sort of in the same area as me. And I looked over at her and I was like, this is what Mandy Moore does, I think. And I just kept going back and forth between the sauna and the plunge pool.
Why do you think that's what Mandy Moore does?
Because she like has put on her Instagram, she's really into cryotherapy, you know, where you like freeze your body and then you get real hot and then you go back and forth.
Yeah, I think there was an episode of Midsummer Murders where people were being murdered in the cryotherapy freezer.
Ooh, that's a good plot line.
Yeah, I think they were cricket players because, you know, overseas.
Bethany, did you go away this weekend or something? You know?
I did. I went to Seattle this weekend. There's this wonderful horror convention called Crypticon and a film festival called Bone Bat. And they were playing Lonely Hearts, the short film that Dennis and I did. Because we made it into both of their film festivals in 2020, but because of the pandemic, both of those film festivals moved online.
Yeah.
So we never really got a chance to watch audiences watch Lonely Hearts or to see it up on the big screen.
Yeah.
So Bone Bat invited back their favorite films from 2020. So we went, we screened the film. It was awesome. And I have to tell you, Kathleen, horror fans are unbelievably incredible people.
Oh.
This was like a hotel convention of just horror fans. And we like basically lived in the merch room and we were just shopping the whole time.
Oh, I bet they had amazing stuff.
Kathleen, I bought a resin raven skull. Like she takes real skulls, she casts them, and then she makes resin. Like they look 100% real, but they're made of resin.
Cool.
I bought a raven skull. I bought this like sparrow skull necklace, which is also resin. I got t-shirts. I bought just like so much stuff. But there's something about horror fans where a large portion of us were outcasts growing up.
Huh.
And so finding this community is such a relief that everyone is, not everyone, everyone we met was unbelievably nice and like so earnest, so open, so sweet. And you can have conversations that I tend to bring up around regular normal people and get a lot of weird looks.
Like what? Like what? Tell me.
Like we were in the elevator and a guy came on and he had a giant bag on his back.
Okay.
And I said, you could fit a body in there. And if I said that to like your average person, which I have, I just get weird looks or dirty looks.
Yeah.
This guy was like, yeah, absolutely. And I have one. Right. And then we all laugh. Or like I found this cat skull.
Oh, yeah. The cat died in the street and then you were watching the body decompose every day.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one.
So you picked up the skull and brought it home?
I picked up the skull and brought it home. And while we were at this convention, the woman who was selling these resin skulls, Dennis thought, hey, maybe she can help you figure out what you need to do with this skull. So I asked her, do you know how to sort of safely prepare these skulls and bleach them. And she talked to me for like 20 minutes about the process of bleaching and saving skulls.
Oh, do you just dip it in bleach to get rid of all the bacteria?
No, she said, do not dip it in bleach.
Oh, thank God you had her as a resource.
I know. And like, you can't just ask your average person, what do I do with the skull I found? She said you're supposed to do a little bit, an equal part of like ammonia and some sort of degreasing soap like Dawn, and then the rest water, and let that sit. And then you sort of clean it, and there's a whole process. You got to watch for the teeth because teeth tend to fall out, all of this stuff. Really dark and sort of creepy, but amongst these group of people, it was just totally normal. And I felt like I belonged in a way that I have not felt in a very, very long time.
Bethany, that's so wonderful.
It was a huge moment.
I have to say that usually when you get home from a trip like this, you're exhausted. You need like a handful of days to recover. But this morning, you were really chipper. And you were like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, look at this. Bethany, you found your tribe.
I did. And we talked to a lot of people. We went out one night with our contact there, Steve, who runs the Bone Bat Festival, and like chatted and hung out and socialized. And it was a lot easier than it normally is. And I think it's because I just felt like I was able to not try to hide my idiosyncrasies the way I feel like I normally have to.
Bethany, my heart is so warm. That is the loveliest thing ever. You know, and gentle listener, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, you know, this sounds really nice, but I hate horror movies. I think as somebody who learned through Bethany to like shut off my fear and watch horror movies, if you think that you can't, for 1 hour, let a horror movie take away all of your other fears and concerns.
Yeah.
And let it just suspend you in a world that you hadn't previously opened your mind to before. And you might be surprised when you approach it from the, oh, this is so cool and interesting, as opposed to the, I'm terrified and now I'm not going to sleep at night approach.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so many different kinds of horror films. Like, start with horror comedies. Do like Ready or Not, do Knives Out, movies that have that side to them, but are also very funny.
I watched Little Evil on Netflix over the weekend. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't.
Oh, it is so funny. It's from 2018. Little Evil. It's a horror comedy that's so smartly written that I was laughing more than I was like, oh, that's scary.
You know? I need to watch this. But yeah, it's just, it was so nice to be in a group of people that I knew also were probably pretty introverted. And, you know, we did the Q&A after Lonely Hearts, and I was definitely nervous standing up there because it was a small room because of COVID.
Yeah.
I can do a big group, but like talking to a small room of people is very uncomfortable. And I wasn't afraid of the fact that I was kind of fidgeting because I knew everyone else in that room would probably be fidgeting too. Like, we're just a bunch of socially awkward people.
I want to find my tribe. Where do I find my tribe?
I mean, whatever you and your friends are like all into the same thing. I think you found your people.
Bethany, my tribe is the show Hoarders. Bethany, I am mortified. Last time we talked, I was going to have lunch with my internet friend, Kathleen.
Yeah, your home decor expert friend.
Yeah. Anyway, she came over and she wants to see the apartment because that's all we talk about. But I didn't have time to like really pick up before she came over. So I was clearing the couch for a place for her to sit when she was over. Bethany, this is a new low for me. I found a fork on the couch.
Oh, no.
Bethany, I found a fork right on the cushion. Like, I was like a spiky whoopee cushion. I don't even know if she noticed it, but I was like, oh, I don't know how that fork got there.
Do you actually know how that fork got there? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was eating dinner the night before and probably fell asleep, and then it wound up entangled in the blankets in the cushion. It was dirty. But I think I had licked it clean, so it wasn't that dirty.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty clean. You know what? It happens to the best of us. What are you going to do?
Yeah, sure, Bethany. You don't have any dirty silverware on your couch when someone comes over for the first time.
That's because no one comes over for the first time. That's because I don't have people over. So you're still ahead of the game compared to me. So you're doing quite well, sweetie. Don't even worry about it.
Bethany, I had a friend who bought the Bruche toothbrush because we talked about it on this podcast so much. And she's like, I love it. I'm going to buy one for my fiance.
Nice.
Yes.
Did she? Did you follow through? Did you put her hold her feet to the fire?
Well, I'm going to. But, you know, I wanted to let other listeners know that, like, this is the type of toothbrush that people love so much. They buy it for their loved ones. Can you say that about anything else?
You literally can't say that about anything else. Also, I went to the dentist a couple weeks ago and she said that she wished most people brushed their teeth and took care of their mouths the way I do. And it's because of my Bruche toothbrush. It keeps my teeth so clean because it's a sonic toothbrush.
Yeah.
But because there's so many different settings, I use the gentle setting. It's also, it feels like a toothbrush that is personalized to me.
You know, when you chop off all your hair and you're like, ah, I'm a brand new person.
Yeah.
I feel that same way every day when I brush my teeth with my Bruche.
Bruche has a 4-week battery life, a magnetic charging stand, and a compact travel case. Plus, it has a subscription program, so it sends you new brush heads without you having to remember to reorder brush heads. Mm-hmm. You always have a clean brush head when you need it, and you have this sleek, beautiful sonic toothbrush that you can get in a bunch of different colors.
I love standing my Bruche up next to Neil's. I'm like, look at it. It's a representation of us.
It's like a unity candle, but less problematic.
I have the pink handle, which I love. My mom has the forest green handle. My mother-in-law has the pink handle too, and Neil has the black handle. We're just a family of very clean teeth.
And right now you can get whatever handle color you want and get 15% off your Bruche toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Bruche.com.
Again, that's 15% off using the promo code TASTE. That's Bruush.com. Use the promo code TASTE for 15% off. Bruche.
Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
I know you love a brownstone.
The way you said that, I didn't know what was going to come after the word brown. Brown.
Kathleen.
Stone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you like a gorgeous 3-floor brownstone apartment in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn?
Without a doubt. That goes without saying, my friend.
It has 8 bedrooms. No, not 8 bedrooms. 8 rooms. Some of those are bathrooms. But I suppose you can still sleep in them if you're drunk. 3 bedrooms, 3,200 square feet. So that's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a big house.
Hardwood floors, private patio, central AC, security system. Sure. It's going to cost you about $10,500 a month.
Holy Moses. Yeah.
You know what else you're going to be getting if you move into 455A Sackett Street in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn?
What are you getting?
A life of trouble, Kathleen, because this house is haunted as hell.
Is it like that house in Westfield, New Jersey, where the watcher is sending the occupants letters?
Kathleen, the watcher house, it's one of those stories. I don't care how many times I've heard it. I cannot get enough of the Watcher story.
You know, they're making a movie about it.
Which is probably why those people have the Watcher house in the first place. It's probably fake, but who knows? Allegedly.
I hope the movie is really good and not like a stupid Lifetime movie like Attack of the Killer Cheerleaders or some shit. Or like,
oh my God, we were watching that over the weekend.
Were you watching Life? I saw it pop up on my Lifetime feed.
They were doing like a back-to-back killer cheerleader films. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
So on the website yourghoststories.com, back in 2007, a writer named Jane H. posted a story about her time when she and her family moved into 455A Sackett Street. It was 1998.
Okay. I was going to be like, what's it like to have $10,000 extraneous dollars a month to spend on your rent? But 1998 was a long time ago. So maybe the rent was like, I don't know, $4,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was much different. Like the house and the apartment has gone up in value. Yeah, so yeah. I'm scrolling down. So it sold in 2008 for $1.15 million. It sold again in 2014 for $1.15 million, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But before that, it was sold for like $800,000.
Sometimes I get so mad, I just want to go back in time and tell my parents to buy real estate.
I know. So Jane says, quote, I wrote about this briefly in a prior article in 2001. Now, I actually was not able to find that prior article. I didn't dig super deeply, but I had a hard time finding that article.
You got to go into the archives at the library and look at the newspapers.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I love it. When they do that in movies, a good movie montage about researching where they go onto a website that's not Google. It's like research.com, but all of the different letters are different colored like Google.
What are those machines even called?
Microfiche?
Is that what they are?
Where they scan the newspapers?
Yeah, the micro slides, and you go and you like put your eyes into the kaleidoscope looking thingy.
Yeah, and then you pull back in shock when you see an old picture of someone who looks exactly like who you know now. Is that old Mr. Fitch? He lives next door.
Is he still alive?
All right. So she and her family moved in when she was 14 on April 1st, 1998. Mm-hmm. And she said that her family immediately knew that something was not right with this apartment. They said it was really, really dark.
Yeah.
There were three floors and a including the basement, rather.
Uh-huh.
She said it was really nice. It's just that you always felt like someone was standing right behind you or staring at you wherever you went in the house. There was an elderly woman who had lived right next door for most of their life, and she said that no one had occupied their apartment for more than a year at a time since as long as she could remember. And she also said that awful things happened to the people who moved into that apartment within only a few weeks of moving in, and the awful things didn't stop until they moved out.
Well, duh. You gotta move out.
You gotta move out. But then, you know, when you move into an apartment, you have to put first month's rent plus last month's rent plus a security deposit.
Yeah.
So even though this was 1998, it was probably still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you lose that money if you break your lease and move out. So you're going to be out tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you have to stay. You got to stay the full year.
You got to stay the full year. She said, even though we all had eerie feelings, we hadn't noticed anything too weird. The apartment was really uninviting, though. It was cold and it was damp. She said that no matter what they tried to do to decorate it or warm it up, nothing helped.
Oh.
And the other weird thing, which may not be a haunting, but might just be it's a brownstone from 1901.
Yeah.
Is that they tried four different times to get a phone installed, but it never took. The phone company came over four times to fix the wires, but no matter what they did, they wouldn't get anything, not static, nothing on the phone. And this was before most people had cell phones.
Yeah, of course.
They had no contact really with the outside world if they were in their apartment and something happened.
See, that is the point where I just say to the phone company, we're going to string the wire from the pole outside the house and we're just going to string it in through the bottom of the window.
Yeah, it seems super safe. What is the worst that could happen?
You have to have a phone. I mean, dial-up was still a thing back then. How did they access the internet?
I mean, it sounds like they didn't. They probably went to their local library and went through the microfiche. So Jane said that the entire year that they were there, weird things would happen. So she had a brother, and the ceiling above his bed just collapsed one day. And she said that he was in bed, but the only reason that he wasn't hurt was because he had randomly gotten up to go to the bathroom. And as soon as he went to the bathroom, boom, the ceiling falls in on the bed.
That's not just drywall. In those old homes, that is plaster, and that shit's heavy. That'll knock you out.
She also said that a fire started in her room, and the fire department investigated, and they could never determine what had happened. She said that someone came to their door screaming that their apartment was on fire. She ran up, and the entire back wall of her room was in flames.
Oh, my God.
And when she tried to put it out, the door closed behind her. But luckily, someone ran up and was able to open the door before she passed out.
This is the point where I say to dear old mom and dad, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we got to get the fuck out of here. Like, at some point.
I'll go get a job at the pet shop or something to make up the money that you're going to lose with your security deposit, but we got to get the F out.
Yeah, if your daughter gets locked in her room while it's on fire,
yeah,
I would say that that alone is a good reason to get out, because also you're just not going to get that fire smell out of the curtains for a really long time.
Yeah, that's like when you go camping and you're out in the woods and the outdoor smells got in your clothes and then they just never leave.
Yeah, or if, you know, you're hanging out around all your cool friends who are also smokers and then you come home and you don't smell so cool anymore, do ya, fellow teens? Okay, so this is when, remember that neighbor who's lived there forever and has seen things?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So that neighbor then confided in Jane H. the strange things that have always gone on in that building. Mm. The neighbor said that in the 30s or 40s, remember this building was built in 1901.
Yeah.
A fire had killed a little boy within a month of the family moving in.
Oh my God.
And then in the 60s, because this is Brooklyn,
yeah,
a couple got whacked by the mob because of some insidious affair. She doesn't go into more detail than that.
They got whacked by the mob.
They got whacked by the mob. Yeah. Jimmy Fish has put them in the sea. You might ask, okay, well, let me do some research on, you know, this fire killing this child and this couple getting whacked by the mob.
Yeah.
But you can't, Kathleen.
Why?
Well, this apartment sits right next to a church, and I'm guessing it must have belonged to the church at one point because the church's records got burned in a fire, so it's not possible to research these stories from the 30s, 40s, and 60s.
So many fires.
Yeah.
Do you have a fire extinguisher, like, within reach in your apartment at all times?
I do, and the only reason is because my landlord bought them for everyone.
Ah.
It was one of those things that I had always meant to buy, but yeah, it's not a fun thing to buy. It's not like a solstice cape. You don't look forward to your fire extinguisher coming. So I just never got around to it. Do you have one?
I have one underneath the sink. The previous people left it here, but I probably should check to see if it's expired. I probably should read the directions on how to use it. Like, I don't know.
I think it's probably expired.
If there was a fire, I think you toss a blanket over it, right? That's what you're supposed to do?
I think you shoot it with your gun.
Or you get the spray out from the water.
All I know is that with an electrical fire, don't use water. It'll make it worse. Okay, so then she says there were other things that happened. A friend of mine came into my apartment and saw a little boy in burnt rags staring at her in my bathroom mirror.
Get out of here.
Yeah. She said that this friend had not been told about the boy who got burnt in that fire from the 30s or 40s. She also had a friend who awoke in the middle of the night swearing she saw a woman walk into my room through the door.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
awful.
No.
Mm-mm. My brother and I heard children crying and laughing one day downstairs. I don't care if you have children or not. The sound of a children laughing in a different room than you is bone chilling.
I mean, just children in general are bone chilling.
Bone chilling.
But I, how old was she? She's probably a teenager.
She was, I think, 14.
That is like the perfect age where you could be telling the truth, but like people aren't quite yet going to believe you yet. Like,
yeah.
You're a teenager, but you're not in your mid-teens, so you may still be fabricating some of this stuff.
Also, if you know anything about poltergeists, you know that preteen and teenage girls are like conductors of energy for poltergeists.
That's right, because their emotions are heightened.
All over the place, and they got that period energy, you know? So it's like poltergeists are like real drawn to that, like bears are.
Yeah, I wonder if the best way to get rid of a poltergeist is just to have women who are all in menopause move into a facility.
I have to say I've had zero poltergeist activity ever since I got my IUD and stopped getting my period.
Oh, Bethany.
Yeah.
I think that just answered a lot of interesting things for me.
Hmm. Wait, what did that answer?
I don't know, because my period's very light and I don't feel like I'm so connected to the paranormal anymore.
Do you have an IUD?
No.
Oh.
Maybe early menopause. Don't ask me about it.
What? You're not going through menopause.
I'm dying, Bethany. Every day I find a new reason why I'm dying. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Everything's going great in the Heaney household.
Back to this apartment.
All right. So she said that they tried to leave their mother's room. They got locked in, but there was no lock. Their mother was downstairs doing the laundry when the lights turned off in the basement and she felt a cold, scaly hand grab her shoulder.
Nope.
They had weird smells, weird sounds, the feeling that something didn't want you there. And they had this like ominous feeling that something bad was about to happen to them.
Oh, I realize right now I'm making like a horrified face and this is a podcast and I probably should make some noise. Like, oh no.
No, it's not good. So all of that happened in just 1 year. April 1st of the following year, they moved out as soon as they could find a new apartment.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And once they had moved out, they learned that the new people who moved in tried to renovate the basement, that creepy, creepy basement, and they found the body of a little boy in the wall. They midnight moved. They just moved out. They didn't return. They just left.
I mean, that's what I would call the cops and then I would leave.
The thing is, if it's clearly an old body, you're not going to be implicated. If it's a new body in the walls that you find, you're going to be implicated for that body in the walls.
Yeah, let's hope your hands are clean.
Yeah, exactly. And then lastly, she said that her mother worked as a nurse in a doctor's office for, it sounds like people, like psychological issues.
Yeah.
And a woman had gone into this doctor's office and her mother noticed that the woman's address on her insurance didn't match the address she had listed. The address listed was 55A Sackett Street, but she had only lived there for a few months. She said that she had to leave because her mother had died along with various other tragedies that had happened the first week they moved in.
Oh, no. See, that's a sign from the Lord.
Get out of this house. And so Jane H. posted this story in 2007. And then there was a comment underneath from someone named Kidna Karras. And they said, I lived in that house for 3 years in 2003.
3 years.
This person said, it was the creepiest place ever. I had the room that I think was your brother's. It was the size of a small closet. The ceiling still had a bad patch job from where the ceiling probably fell in before. There was also remnants of the fire. I had to remove the radiator from the tiny room and there was a ton of soot behind it. I never felt safe in that place. Under the porch in the back, there was a small storage room. The entrance was outside under the porch. Me and my roommates went in after the door popped open one day.
No.
There was a kneeler altar like thing. So I guess like kind of in Catholic churches maybe where you like kneel down in the pew and then you stand back up.
Yeah. Where you do your praying.
And she said, no joke, a pair of girls' roller skates with caked blood on them and a small boy's clothes.
Get the fuck out of here.
They said it was so creepy. We called it the goat hole. The people that moved in after us, they bought the place, completely gutted it and renovated. I could only imagine what they found in there. So if you look this place up now, 455A Sackett Street, there's a listing. There's several listings for when it was being sold and rented.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful on the inside. They have completely gutted it and renovated it. I'm on thecompass.com website.
Yeah.
It's wide open. All of the walls are bright white. The ceilings are white. You can tell they've really, like hardwood floors, they've really tried to make it very beautiful. But there's one room that still, I just get this creepy ass vibe from it.
What's the room?
It's the room that's the library. So it looks like a long railroad apartment room. There's windows that look out onto the street on one end. We're standing at the other end. On the left-hand wall is a full wall bookcase. And in the middle of the room is kind of a sectional sofa that goes along the entire center of the room. And something about it just creeps me out. That room specifically.
You can even tell by the photos. I'm looking at the but by the way, when you were telling this story, I took a walk, a Google walk down Sackett Street and Carroll Gardens. Yeah. A lovely street.
Beautiful.
It goes all the way down to the river.
It's, you know what? It is stunning.
Yeah.
The rent is too damn high in all of these places.
I think it was last sold for like 3.3 or something.
Yeah, it's nuts. This story is tough. I don't want to not believe it because I skipped over kind of something traumatizing that happened to the girl that like is not even worth
mentioning,
but like it's a very real awful thing that happened to her. I'll have all of my references listed in the show notes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say she lied because this one thing that happened to her is something you never want to say someone lied about.
Yeah.
It's interesting that nothing can be validated. So even the stuff that happened to her, I looked up and, you know, 1998 is kind of pre-digital. People weren't really posting a lot of stuff online yet.
Oh, it's definitely pre-digital. If you had a website, it was a GeoCities, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And like a lot of reports weren't put online yet. So I wasn't able to find any report of a fire happening or, you know, any sort of bad thing happening in that house. Mm-hmm. I went to diedinhouse.com. I ran a report. There was no record of any deaths happening in the house. There's no record of any fires happening in the house. So it may not have been reported online. So I'm not sure. And the other thing is that she says they moved in on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. That's probably not a clue that she's making this up, but it crossed my mind that is this like a little hint that this isn't real?
It did cross my mind too. If you were looking into buying a house, a property, something, apartment, and you ran the report on, what is it? Did someone die?
Diedinhouse.com.
Diedinhouse.com. And you found not one, but two instances, would you still buy that property?
If they had happened a while ago,
yeah.
Yes.
What if it had just been like within the last 10 years? One is a fluke. Two,
That's a good point. One is a fluke. If it was like, if it's an old building, yeah. like I live in an old building now, if it was one happened in like 1897 and then one happened in 2007.
Yeah.
Then I probably would, the more recent one is the one that would bother me. If they were super far apart, it wouldn't bother me as much. But you're right. If they were like 2007 and 2009, mm-hmm. I would say no. That's, there's something going on with this house. And then I don't know if someone's like watching the house and, you know, they have a thing about moidoring people in this house. Would you?
I would use it as a bargaining chip.
Good call.
And I think I would. And then I would install like a super high tech security system.
Yes. And I would also install laser grids in every room. Those laser grids that they use on Ghosty Boys.
Yeah. Such a good workout when you're trying to skip over them.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. You have to use, you have to do, what's it called? Capoeira.
Like, because that's a good drink.
Like in, I think Ocean's 11 or 12 or 13, where the hot French guy had to get through the, steal the egg and all of the laser grids. He just like danced through them in a really acrobatic and sexy way.
It's like participating in the limbo for adults.
So I don't know. So that's the story of 455A Sackett Street. It's very creepy. And if true, very creepy.
Gentrified creepiness as it stands now, that building.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really curious to know. I mean, it looks like it's being rented right now. It's on a 2-year lease and it looks like they're at the end of that lease. So I'll be keeping an eye on it and seeing what happens next. But
write them a letter and let them know, Bethany. You gotta.
Oh, I was able to find some names of people who've lived there before. Yeah. I will be reaching out to them and I'll give you any updates I find.
This is incredible, Bethany.
Kathleen and I are on the Scribd website and kind of freaking out because Scribd is going to change your life if you are so sick of struggling to try to find the right book to read or the right podcast to listen to or the right sheet music to play.
Gentle listeners, I am always talking about loving my audiobooks, but I pay $14 a month for one credit for one book. Is that... And I thought that was a good deal because when you buy an audiobook, it's like $38, which is ridiculous. But now that Bethany and I have been introduced to Scribd, I literally have to pick my jaw up off the bottom of the floor because for $10 a month, I have access to more audiobooks than I do for $4 less than what I'm already paying.
With Scribd, you get instant access to millions of ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and more. And you also get thoughtfully curated editor's picks and smart recommendations based on what you've already read. That makes choosing your next book or podcast or whatever you're taking in so much simpler. Like my Scribd account is telling me to read my next Agatha Christie book, but it's also telling me to read The Alice Network, a novel by Kate Quinn, or Catch 22 by Joseph Heller.
I can't get over this, Bethany. Books, audiobooks, magazines, podcasts, sheet music, documents, which are court filings and academic papers, all this on Scribd that you get access to for $10 a month. My mind is blown. On top of what I pay for one audiobook a month of $14, I also pay $10 for a news service that gives me magazines, but this isn't also included with Scribd. What have I been doing with my life?
And by the way, my sister's book is also on Scribd. If you go and search Nicole Kronzer Unscripted, you can hear her read her own audiobook on Scribd.
Millions of ebooks, millions of audiobooks, millions of magazines.
And right now, Scribd is offering you a free 60-day trial. So go to try.scribd.com/taste for your free trial.
Again, that's try.scribd.com/taste. I'm going to spell it for you. try.scribd.com/taste to get 60 days of Scribd for free.
Kathleen, life is stressful enough. We have to worry about going back into society. We have to worry about all of our anxieties popping back up again. We have to worry about what's going to happen when Y2K hits. But your access to healthcare shouldn't be stressful. And luckily, getting birth control is one less thing that you have to worry about thanks to the Pill Club.
I'm so excited that we've partnered up with the Pill Club because one of my chores today is to go to CVS and beg them to put my pills back into my account because it's taking me so long to pick them up that they've reshelved them.
Oh, yeah. It's a pain in the butt.
I'm done with that. I'm done with picking up my birth control at the pharmacy. I want it delivered directly to my door.
Yes, we are all looking for ways to streamline our to-do list, and that is one of them. So make it easy to get birth control without having to schedule a trip to the doctor's office or stand in line at the pharmacy. The Pill Club provides access to care from the comfort of your home and delivery to your door in discreet packaging, so your landlady doesn't need to know that you're having sex before marriage. And it's not her business, but you know she makes it her business.
The Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $9 per month without insurance.
So right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/taste, The Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Acquired Taste listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org.
That's thepillclub.com/taste to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control.
Remember, thepillclub.com/taste, you must use that link to make the donation.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Since it's now officially September, I would like to just give, you know, a little gentle PSA, a little nudge.
Okay.
We should all be checking our living quarters to make sure that there is no one else that we didn't know living about in our living quarters.
Yeah, you know, as the weather cools down and maybe it gets a little bit hard to be outside all the time, you want to make sure that you haven't had someone come in and, you know, put a sleeping bag between your bedroom and the, you know, the, I don't know where they would even put it, the crawl space.
I mean, in my apartment, I have so much shit everywhere. It'd be like the sleeping bag between the chair and the wall.
Yeah.
And the boxes are there too and the clothes. So Kathleen and Neil will never see you.
Yeah. And the guy was interviewed afterward. He was like, I was there for like 6 months. I was surprised they never found me.
So this has come up twice. I read a book called The Wrong Family, and it's about a woman observing a family because she lives in their house.
Oh, who, do you remember the author?
The author is Taryn Fisher.
Okay.
I didn't give too much away by telling you that. There's still a lot of really other exciting things that happen. But if you need like an easy read, I think I read that in like a day and a half.
Nice.
Also, there was a Netflix show, a Netflix movie with Ashley Green that just came out recently, also about someone living in a house that they didn't know about. So I present to you, Bethany, today, horrifying stories of intruders who secretly lived in other people's homes.
Dun-da-dun-da-da! I love these stories because sometimes when you see videos online of someone purportedly finding someone living in their walls, they put up a security camera and they tape it overnight. They're usually fake, which is, you know, kind of a letdown. If I want to see something creepy, I want it to be real.
Exactly. Okay. So, Alabama man shot by wife's lover who secretly lived in the couple's home. This is from August 19th, 2021. So this is very recent.
So the wife's lover was living in their home.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the house and it looks like it's all one level. It's a ranch house because I'm always confused about stories like this. Like, how do you not know that someone's living in your home? Like, your wife knew. She was secretly feeding her lover and the lover was doing things like peeing into water bottles as not to be heard. I think that there was some meth involved.
Well, that helps you keep your weight down so you can fit into the wall.
And then the lover apparently shot the husband and they're both okay, I think. But the wife had allowed her lover to live in the house for more than a year and the husband had no idea.
Okay, I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Expect and, you know what, demand better for yourself than to be kept in a wall.
Yeah.
You deserve to be kept in at least an attic, if not a pied-a-terre that is being paid for by your lover. Because being told to stay in a wall, how demoralizing is that, you know?
Okay, I think he was just living, he was living in a room. He wasn't even living in a wall. He was living in a room in the house, and she was just delivering him food and stuff.
And the husband just never realized there was this room he wasn't allowed to go into?
There must have been maybe like a little crawl space or something, but I think this guy came out and lived in the house when they weren't there, and then, anyway, if you lost your job and you're on the, I don't know, the cusp of being homeless, living rent-free and getting free food and having a place where you can, like, I don't know, shower and get clean clothes and stuff and have somebody wait on you, it's not really a bad deal.
No, it really isn't. No, I mean, you know, if it's between that and, like, not having a home, okay, yeah, I'll live in a wall. Here's my big question, and I don't know if you have an answer for this, Kathleen.
Okay.
How do you, like, in this situation, it's, okay, it was a room that they had, but how do you discover a wall space? how many of us don't have spaces behind our walls that people that we don't even realize have attempted to live in our homes, but then realize they can't live in our homes and have moved on. And but for the grace of God, we just don't have the space for them. How do you find a wall space?
You know, I think it's got to be, and I've never lived, I mean, I guess my condo now is new construction, quote unquote. I mean, it was built in 2002, but it looks like this home is fairly new. And because like my mom's house, that's creaky as all hell. Like there's no way that someone could live in that house without one of us knowing. I think new homes where the floors are solid and, you know, the floorboards are, you know, 100 plus years old. I think that it's a possibility, especially if it's carpeted, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. But how do you find the wall space?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you would even come upon it or access it.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, okay. So here's... if you build homes and you know the blueprints of the home, you always put in a little crawl space and don't tell the owners maybe. And then if you ever need a place to stay, you can go back.
You know what? I know architects. I'm going to ask them. I'm going to ask them and I'll report back. Have you ever built a crawl space on purpose? And do you live there sometimes?
In the book that I was reading, the woman was homeless. She wandered into the house when there was construction. She got spooked, went into a closet, and then realized that the closet had like a little trap door to the crawl space underneath the house. And that's how it all happened.
So upsetting. I always say it. Yeah. Nothing good happens in a crawl space.
All right. Let's get on our airplanes and head over to Seattle.
Ooh, okay.
Seattle police discover a man living secretly in the basement of a woman's home.
Kill me. Just kill me.
This is from March of 2021. According to Como News, with a K, a movie plot played out in real life at a home in Seattle this weekend when a couple discovered a man secretly living in their basement. According to the police report, the man had been eating from the downstairs refrigerator. He had made up a bed and even arranged his clothes in one of the rooms. This went on for a couple of days before the woman who was already living there realized that she had company, and then she called 911.
Can you just imagine... Did she come upon him, or did she see his stuff while he was out running errands?
So apparently the home is like at the end of the block, and investigators think that this guy had probably was casing the home, and he entered through the side door of the property, and that led him to the furnished basement unit.
Oh, just the idea. For me, it's always the idea that if you pull out and someone's watching the whole house from the outside, and they see you, Kathleen, moving about your house, doing your various, you know, workouts and pouring wines and cooking. And then they also look down and they see a man crawling around the basement. Like, that is so freaking haunting to me.
I know.
This old story about this man. I don't remember where it happened, but he was called the Batman. This was before Batman the comic book was a thing, because he lived in this guy's attic for so long, and he was so tall but very, very thin. He lived in the attic like a bat. And one thing he would do is he would follow the old man around the house, walking right behind him as a challenge for himself to see if he could do it without the man noticing. So if you're looking in from outside and you're looking in the window, can you imagine just seeing this old man shuffling around and another man walking right behind him? I would die.
So, gentle listener, every time you open the fridge and you're like, hey, where did my macaroni go? And, you know, my macaroni leftovers.
Who ate the rest of my au bon pain? Yeah.
And everyone is like, ah, it wasn't me. You might have someone living in your house.
You probably have someone living in your house.
Apparently, this guy was like, he made up a bed. He was playing cards. He like organized some clothes and like moved some furniture around in the basement.
You know what? How dare you?
Why did it take many days for this woman to figure this out?
It's one thing if someone eats the rest of your mac and cheese, but it's a second if someone moves your sectional.
To better suit their needs.
Yeah, how dare you? Like, it's one thing that you're living in my house, but you don't get to just make yourself so comfortable that you're moving my furniture around.
I was having a conversation with a friend who, you know, because there have been people working in my mom's house, and her sister was just flipping a house. And she said, my sister was getting this strange feeling that there was something off in the house that she was flipping. The house was next door to the house that she lived in. She would go in and sometimes things would be like slightly askew. She's like, huh, that's weird. Turns out that one of the construction workers that was working on the house flip was also living in the house. Yeah.
So he would like, he or she. Was it a dude?
It was a dude, yeah.
He would just like okay, bye everyone, and pretend to drive home and then like circle back?
Yes, Bethany. It's a walking town. So he probably was like, okay, bye everybody. And then just was like, I'm going to just clean up and then I'm going to lock up. And then he just stayed.
I suppose if you're having issues with your spouse and you're a construction worker.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little, you know, fringe benefit that
it's too easy.
You can sleep at work.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about this often. Some offices you could legitimately sleep in and no one would really know. And then like if you have a gym membership, you just go shower at the gym and then,
yeah,
you know?
Probably far more people are living at work than we realize.
Yes.
Like I lived when we worked at the radio station during Hurricane Sandy, I lived under my desk because I had just my Hoboken apartment. We were supposed to move in the day that Sandy hit and then the apartment got flooded. And so I couldn't move in. And so the power at the hotel went out. And so I just lived under my desk.
Yes, because the radio station had a generator.
Yeah, and there's always someone, you know, to keep me company because it's a union station. So they have to have people live 24/7.
So actually, there was a story back from 2012 where a man secretly lived at the AOL offices for 2 months.
Jeez.
He was 19 years old, a 19-year-old entrepreneur who exemplified the gumption it takes to keep a startup running. For 2 months, slept, ate, and ran a startup from inside of AOL's Palo Alto campus.
That's such a startup dude thing to do, is like, I'm going to live in my office and it's going to be used as an example of good work ethic rather than being used as an example of like squatting.
This would never happen in Europe. This would only ever happen in America.
Yeah, in Europe, they'd be like, go on holiday.
So this kid, he was only 19 years old, the one that lived at AOL. He moved to Silicon Valley because, you know, it's a sexy place to be, especially when you're an entrepreneur.
Sure.
And it doesn't say how he got into the AOL building.
Oh, he didn't work at AOL?
No, Bethany, he didn't even work there.
I thought he worked there and just didn't leave at night.
No, I'm like browsing the store. He didn't even work there. I don't even know how he got in.
Oh, that makes it worse. And again, they called it gumption. This dude breaks into the AOL offices, but because he's a venture capitalist, he's like, oh, good job, buddy. But if it was literally anyone else, it would have been like, this giant freaking creep lived in the AOL offices like a giant freaking creep.
I wonder where he is now.
Not jail, I promise you that.
You know what, Bethany? Would they write that about a woman squatting at AOL, that she had gumption?
No! They'd be like, this crazy cat lady. It's like, she's like, I don't have any cats. Yeah, but you're probably crazy in a cat lady. Anyway, you're a witch.
Did you see, you know, we have a hurricane coming again this week, Kate, and the National Weather Service was tweeting about it. And it's like, Hurricane Kate is a strong and solid depression. And people were like, would you write that about a man?
Hurricane Kate is going to be super shrill and overly emotional.
Strong, very strong depressive, promising depressive.
I mean, you know what? When you're right, you're right.
This next one comes from thesun.com. And of course, I will include all of the links in our show notes. A woman who lived alone realized that someone was secretly living in her home when she made a shocking shower discovery. The woman shared the terrifying story with her followers on TikTok, and commenters were urging her to call the police, change her locks, and get security cameras. TikTok user Mia explained, okay, here's the backstory. I live alone in my house. I have the house to myself. Nobody lives here. Nobody lives here. My friends come over on occasion, but not super often. I normally go to my friends' houses. Nobody uses the shower here. And there were large clumps of dark brown hair visible on her shower walls.
Oh my God.
She goes, first of all, every time I'm home, I hear the weirdest noises. It happens all the time. Like it's unexplainable. And then I just brush it off. But this is my last straw. I'm freaking out right now. On the day that she recorded the video, Mia had come home from work to take a shower and the nasty surprise was waiting for her. The clumps of dark brown hair. Mia's hair is bright pink, so it could not have been her own hair.
Please tell me she called the police before posting on TikTok.
I think she posted on TikTok before she called the police.
You know what? I almost said you deserve, but don't. Come on. Come on. I was watching something yesterday and a woman posted, like, she like live streamed her oncology appointment or something.
What?
Like, she posted a video to YouTube.
Why?
Of her doctor telling her she had like a really awful like prognosis for something. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was just like, it was, and clearly the doctor didn't know she was recording because the phone was on her lap and you were looking up her nose like it was, you know, the Blair Witch Project. And she was just like sobbing and then posted it to YouTube. And I'm like, are you so desperate for attention that you need to post it on YouTube? This awful, like horrible doctor's appointment.
What? Why? Why? That's taking YouTube-ism too far, too far.
Too far.
Well, I don't know if she ever called the police.
Jesus.
Mia assured her followers that she's safe, but she has not yet gotten to the bottom of her discovery.
If you are someone who's looking to move into a house rent-free, go to like a TikTok influencer's house because they won't call the cops because they know that they'll get more attention if they keep this going.
In Ohio State, some students made a startling discovery in 2013 when they found a locker in the basement of their house that led to a secret cozy pad complete with textbooks, a stereo, photographs on the wall. The room was inhabited by Jeremy, a complete stranger to other residents in the house.
Wait, what year was this?
2013.
Okay, it was too late. I was going to say my friend Jeremy went to Ohio State. And I'm like, he's pretty frugal.
Turns out Jeremy's cousin lived in the house the semester before, and the realty company didn't change the locks after the previous tenants moved out. As Jeremy still had the key to the building, he came and went as he pleased. He was even caught by one of the current residents, but merely pretended to be one of the other tenants in the building because it was a three-story house and there were separate entrances on each floor.
Always get your locks changed.
I have not gotten my locks changed for my apartment yet.
That is one thing I've read several times, is like the brother of the realtor or the son of the former owners or whatever will come back and live in the house because the keys been changed. And like a simple thing like changing the locks can prevent people from getting in a crawl space.
Bethany. Okay, when I was living in college, I lived in a two-family house. You know, I lived in the upper dwelling with seven girls. It was big. There were a lot of buildings, but the two girls per bedroom, right? And I was really pissed when people didn't automatically like do the bolt behind them, you know? Like,
yeah.
Lock the bolt behind you. Like, this is a college town. We're all women. Lock the fucking bolt.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta be a little bit proactive and pull your head out of your butt a little bit.
Yeah.
And be smart.
And everyone's like, no, Kathleen, the bottom lock is fine. It locks automatically. Until one day I was having a meltdown because yet again, I was getting ready to go to bed and it wasn't fucking locked. And I'm like, it's midnight. Why isn't this locked? I was that roommate. I discovered that the bottom lock that everybody had been relying on, Bethany, it was broken. So someone from the outside could just jiggle the handle, the doorknob in ever so which way, and then just the door would open.
Kathleen, you're so lucky to be alive.
I know.
That's when you have to fake an intruder just to teach everyone a lesson. You know, like get your buddy Jeremy from Ohio State and have him jiggle the lock and freak everyone out. Because that's the only way they're going to learn.
Okay, this is from not that long ago, 2019. A North Carolina man was arrested after a college student came home to her off-campus apartment to find him hiding in her closet and wearing her clothes.
God, the moment of discovery is just bone chilling.
She called 911 immediately.
Thank God.
She was 20. The man was 30. The woman who attended the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, she said her and her roommates initially thought that a ghost had taken up residence in their apartment after they noticed her clothes disappearing from their closets and handprints on the wall.
Ghosts don't leave handprints typically. You know what does? People.
She said she heard rattling her closet. It sounded like a raccoon was in there. And I'm like, who's there? And somebody answered, oh, my name is Drew.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. At least he was polite.
Who's there?
My name is Drew.
Imagine you're all ready to, like, meet this ghost. Who's there? Reveal yourself. That's what they do. I just watched The Conjuring 2 last night.
Yeah.
And they're like, reveal yourself. What is your business in this house? You know?
Tell me your demon name.
It's really romantic, the idea of a ghost in your apartment wearing your clothes and leaving handprints on the wall. I would die for a situation like that. Like that, it just seems like so fun, like a fun mystery.
Yeah, or like I think it was like either a Hallmark or a Netflix movie where it was like the ghost was really hot. And he came like every Christmas for 10 days or something. And so the woman just decided to give up any chance of a relationship. Spoiler alert. And run the hotel during the winter. And like she would have a boyfriend for 10 days over Christmas.
Bethany, that's not a real movie. Is that a real movie?
It's a real movie.
Mr. Murray arrived early, left early too.
What happened?
It's probably the ghost.
The Spirit of Christmas.
It's called like the Spirit of Christmas or something. He's the spirit and he's hot. Listen. He's like a Brooklyn hipster bartender looking kind of guy. Ghost relationships. They're just like us.
As two people who romanticize being visited by ghosts, Bethany and I, listen, we understand.
Yeah.
But we would still call the police.
Yeah. If once the handprint shows up and there are ridges and whorls, that's a real person. That's a real person.
Catherine Lang, she knew that something was wrong when she noticed a dog and a cat wandering around her recently purchased South Carolina property in January of 2018.
Okay.
Lang just wanted to check on the pipes at the home before moving in. But she discovered something far more sinister. A family had taken up residence in the home that she had purchased.
A whole family?
Let me break this down. This Kentucky family were like, oh, hey, look, this cool new house we're renting for $850 a month, except the con person who took their money didn't own the house. I don't even know how they knew about the house. And Catherine Lang, who had just purchased it, was like, oh, let me check on the pipes, and found this family who thought that they rightfully belonged in the house living there.
Wait, okay, so the people who rented the house for $850 a month were different from the woman who discovered the house.
So the woman who bought the house thought the house is empty. She just was going to check on the pipes. And the people who were renting it rented it from a con person.
Gotcha.
And they gained access because the back door was open. And like these two people really had nothing to do with each other. And I don't know how the con person had gained access to the house. This is why I never leave the house. So nobody can move in when I'm not looking.
Look, gentle listener, look behind you right now. There's probably someone standing right behind you because they've been living in your wall.
Who ate my snacks?
Who ate my au papin?
Bethany, I've recently been targeted by some marketing that I'm not sure how I'm feeling about.
Uh-oh. Is it indicative of things that you've been Googling, or is it indicative of things about yourself No. that you feel like maybe you don't want people to know?
Everywhere I turn, I'm being bambushed by companies who sell something called barefoot shoes.
Are those the toe shoes?
Okay, they're kind of like the toe running shoes, except your toes are not separated, which is weird and uncomfortable. Barefoot shoes is like this new movement of shoes that are really flat and really wide. So it's like you're walking barefoot.
What?
But, you know, you still have like leather on your feet to protect your feet. There is a whole group of people that don't believe that cushioned shoes are actually good for you. They think that really cushioned sneakers like pitch your body in a way that's unnatural and it causes all sorts of other health problems in your body.
I have heard that it's better to run barefoot than to run with running shoes.
Get out of here. You're going to step on a piece of glass.
If you're running in the mean streets, the shoes are good because they protect your feet. However, like if you're just in a perfect world, let's say you're running on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard, do I know where I heard this? No. Mm-hmm. That you're supposed to run without shoes on because your body naturally is, your feet are the way they should be to support your body naturally the way that you run.
These people, these like foot people, they all think that we need wider toes, like, you know, and but you end up looking like clown shoes when you have a shoe that's the same shape as your foot.
I'm looking at these.
It's like a really wide toe and it's just a flat shoe, and people are very into these. Apparently, like your whole body changes, your whole body feels better when you walk around a shoe that mimics being barefoot.
I'm all about this. Here is my question, because I have a pair of boots where they're a little too wide,
yeah,
and a little too long.
Yeah.
And because of that, I get the worst blisters when I wear them because my foot's moving all over the place. What's to keep these from being the same problem? Because if they're a little wider and a little flatter, how are you staying in place?
That you pose a lot of really good questions. Maybe it's because your boots weren't meant to be barefoot shoes. I also just read that walking barefoot can boost your immune system.
Oh, probably because you're getting all this gunk all up in you and then your body has to fight it off.
The contact with the earth helps to stabilize and reset the natural circadian rhythms in the body.
God.
Another study showed that walking barefoot can help strengthen your immune system. White blood cells seem to go down while red blood cells seem to increase with hints of better immunity. What?
I would walk barefoot every day of my life if I could. The bottoms of my feet are like leather.
Yeah.
I can walk on gravel without shoes on and it's totally fine. And it makes me so happy to walk barefoot. But it's just like, you know, you can't. As Britney Spears taught us, you shouldn't be going into public restrooms without shoes on.
I never wear slippers at home. The second I get home, I take my shoes off and I walk barefoot. I don't wear socks.
Hell yeah.
So my mom is like a slipper person. So is my brother. They always have to have their slippers on. I'm like, no, let your tootsies breathe, my friends.
I was going to ask if that's a generational thing. But if your brother does it, was your father a slippers person too?
He was usually wearing socks.
Gotcha.
What about your parents?
I don't think my dad is a slippers person. My dad is a sock person. My mother is a sock person. But like my older sister is a house shoes person.
Okay. Some people have that too.
I don't understand it. Why do I have to buy more footwear for when it doesn't matter? Like it's not like my house has hidden spikes or landmines everywhere that like I have to protect my feet from it.
I was doing a Peloton at home strength workout video the other day and I had to put my sneakers on inside the house because my ankles feel weak. I can't do these lunges and these squats in my bare feet. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has sneakers that she only wears in her apartment because they're her at-home workout sneakers.
Well, it's so funny. I am so afraid. Maybe, does she have pets?
No.
I think maybe that's why. Because the main reason that I have people take their shoes off if anyone ever comes over is because you have a better chance of feeling my cats under your feet before you step on them if you're not wearing shoes.
Yeah.
And you can do more damage if you step on them if you're wearing shoes. So like, that's my reason. But it feels so strange to wear shoes, especially sneakers, while I'm working out in my house. It feels wrong. It feels like wearing a prom dress to the bathroom.
I mean, when I'm doing jump squats, I need something to absorb the shock. Also, I feel bad for the people who live underneath me.
But that's more about the rug you have. Like, aren't bare shoes arguing that like your body already has what you need to be shock absorbent?
There's this article that just came up that says, do humans even need shoes?
Let's read it. Read it right now. Who wrote it? Where is it? Let's give credit where credit is due.
It's from wellalignedbody.com. Hang on.
Okay. I do feel like they have an agenda though.
A little bit of an agenda. It's like when people don't realize that they're reading political articles with an agenda.
Yeah.
And it's like, should I get the vaccine? And then the website is like momsagainstvaccines.com. And it's like,
yeah.
I think the information that you're consuming might be just a little bit biased.
Vaccines are bullshit.org.
Wait, like, my husband, Neil, last night, he fell for fake news.
Oh,
he was on Twitter and he started laughing so hard. I'm like, what is it, Neil? And he's like, oh my God. He's like, the Mets, the guy who's Mr. Met, they just found all of this cocaine and fentanyl in his car.
Oh no.
And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense for like somebody who's got to be on all the time. I get it.
Sure. Yeah.
Then he sent it to his family and they're like, Neil, fake news is not a real.
Was it like The Onion?
It was instead of the New York Post, it was the New York Pouch.
Oh, God.
Okay, but let me ask you about your sister's house shoes. Does she only wear them inside the house?
Yes. And she's done this for so long that she consistently, every couple years, asks for new house shoes for Christmas because she wears them out.
Get out of here.
I know. Okay, I'm just outing Nicole completely. She has super bony ankles and really sensitive feet. But, like, these shoes don't hit her ankles. So it's not like her ankle bones can, like, carve through the side of the shoes. They're low rise and they have like a rubber bottom and they're kind of like clogs with a more closed top. Look, good on you if you love a house shoe. I think it's very cozy and practical and sounds like something, you know, a grandma does, but I don't understand it fully.
I don't have house shoes. I mean, like, listen, I'm a disaster. I'm lucky that I even like know where two pairs of the same shoe are at any point in time. But I have thought in the past, wouldn't it be really nice to have a pair of of UGG boots that have never been worn outside that I just keep at the foot, like under the sheets in my bed. So when I get into my bed, I just slip my feet into my house UGGs.
But are your feet so cold?
Yeah, sometimes my feet get really cold at night. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had a pair of sanitary UGG boots.
Here's what I don't understand. And this is just, you know, me coming from my perspective. What's the difference? Like, if you are a house shoe person, why not just wear socks? And I wonder if it's because maybe you have very, very sensitive feet. Like, I know that my sister also has very sensitive feet. Like, she can't wear heels at all because it hurts her feet so badly.
If we have any foot people listening to this right now, they're on their way to Nicole's Instagram to take a look to see if her feet are exposed in any of the pictures, because they're getting their jollies off right now on Nicole's sensitive ankles.
Well, they're not on her Instagram, and knock it off. I don't understand it, but I think it is very interesting because our bodies are so different. I can't even imagine what it's like to have feet that get cold. And I know there are some people whose feet never warm up.
I guess I started following all these Instagram accounts about like barefoot walking or whatever. And this woman was showing a picture of her husband's feet, and it was when he used to wear regular shoes, and she took a photo and she like did all these measurements between his toes. And then like a year after wearing his barefoot shoes, and like the shape of his foot and where his toes aligned, Bethany, totally changed.
We are all so different. What possessed her to take measurements of her husband's toes in the first place? I feel like she also works for big bare feet. Because like, why would you think that there's going to be such a drastic change that you would ahead of time measure betwixt his toes? What is your real job, ma'am?
Because they say it's better for your hips and your back and your alignment when your toes are like at their natural splay, as opposed to when you're stuffing them into shoes.
That makes sense. But like to think that I'm going to measure it ahead of time. And I wonder what her husband was thinking, if he was all in on this or if he was like, please stop, please get away from me. I feel vulnerable.
The barefoot shoes are so unattractive. I'm like, did the barefoot community just hire a bunch of lobbyists, and that's why I'm being targeted all of a sudden? Because like, I'm of that age where I'm thinking about like my toe splay. I don't know.
I'll tell you why you're being targeted. Because you hike.
Oh.
You show a predilection to walking around. And so I'm sure that, you know, they also, because, you know, they're tracking your location, they also know that you've been hiking around in the outdoors. They know that you've been in California. They know that you've been near other people who hike. So they're targeting you with hiking people's ads.
Bethany, I'm going to take this one step further. My Fitbit is connected to everything I do.
That's
what if Fitbit is selling my information, and Fitbit's like, this bitch is getting 12,000 steps a day. Her information might be valuable to your company.
I guarantee you Fitbit is selling your information. I promise you. Their app is free to use, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're selling your information. That's how they're making money.
Okay, Bethany, I would like you to go to this barefoot shoe website.
Okay, happy to do it. Is it called Vivo?
Vivo Barefoot is one. Groundies is another.
Groundies?
Groundies, urban barefoot footwear. And they're ultra flat, and they like fold up. And actually, these are not that unattractive. I think maybe we all need a pair of groundies. Okay, but when they show side pictures of these shoes, they look attractive. But when you do like you're looking down, they look like clown shoes. The box of the toe is so wide.
Yeah, from the side, they look fine. And people are really only seeing the side. You're the only one who has to look down. Flat and thin, they say. Your body moves best naturally, which is barefoot. That's why our true sense soles give you a barefoot feeling like never before experienced in a shoe.
I'm going to reach out and see if they'll send us pairs, and then we'll measure the length between our toes.
They make a ballet flat, which my foot is just getting sweaty looking at them.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you are far more productive and likely to get work done if you are working in groups. I'm part of this acting community where twice a month there's like these virtual work sessions. So everyone jumps on Zoom, you put your camera on, you mute it, and you work for 2 hours. And then every 45 minutes or so, everyone checks in to make sure that like everyone's still working. But it keeps you so much more focused, Kathleen. And it reminded me of that time that you and I stayed on Skype for 12 hours and just worked together.
Yes, on election day.
On election day. And we got so much more work done. So it's something that you can organize with your roommates or your friends, or your family or coworkers. Just say like, hey, you know, on Tuesday from 1 to 3, we're going to do a virtual work session. You all work privately on your own stuff. stuff, you just do it over Zoom or Skype. And just having other people there also working keeps you so much more focused and accountable. And I highly recommend it. What did you learn this week, Kathleen?
I learned, and I shared this on our Patreon show, I learned that watching the Daphne Oz on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
That when you're putting on your mascara, don't like dip, dip, dip. And put it in and put it on one eye, then dip, 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 and then put it on the other eye. Get a good dip and then switch the wand back and forth between your eyes to get a really good coat on your lashes. But then your lashes won't be weighed down by over dipping in really heavy mascara.
That's great. That's so helpful. Mascara is a constant struggle. Life is so hard.
Like I used to do one eye. I know, makeup. I used to do one eye and then dip, 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 and then do the other eye. But now you're just supposed to go back and forth until you have even coverage on both sides.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. The most wonderful, interesting people are in there, and they post like really great tips and heartwarming stories, and it's just a great group to be a part of.
Yeah, it's super, super supportive. You can also send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. We are going to start collating, organizing our spooky stories for the month of October.
Wow.
So preferably true stories. If it's not true, don't tell me it's not true. send us your scary stories at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we have a snail mail address, and that is an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 717 Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. We love hearing what you have to say. 917-994-0353.
And this podcast, as of late, has been edited by Dennis Callow. So thanks, Dennis. We love you.
Yeah. You can follow him on social media at Dennis Callow, C-A-H-L-O. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, this is Katie from Connecticut, one of the many Katies from Connecticut, as I've learned. I just had to pause the bonus episode that just came out today because I was literally screaming at my phone going, this is me. Like, literally, this is me. Bethany talking about being, like, anxious about being the overexcited friend or the friend that reaches out that, you know, you're worried you're reaching out too much and then you stop reaching out, you wait for the other person to reach out to see if they're actually like still interested in you. Like literally this is me to a T. So like I'm really, and I always think I'm a psycho that I'm the only one with this issue, but apparently I'm not the only one with this issue. So Bethany, I completely empathize. I always get those mixed up. I don't know which one it is, but whichever one it is, I'm with it, with you, because like literally I can't even, I'm kind of in shock that you're talking about this, honestly, because it's like so much me that it just blows my mind that somebody else can be the same, literally same as me. So anyway, if there's anybody else like this out there, there are others like you. If you think you're alone, you're not, because apparently this is a thing now, so we should start a club. Okay, I'm going to go back to making my latte. Bye!
Bethany, the world needs more people who are enthusiastic about friendship. Don't ever hesitate or second guess yourself when it comes to reaching out to a friend. You have no idea how you might be making that person's day or making that person light up just because you thought to reach out. We need more people who are kind like you and considerate like you. So never hesitate to reach out to anybody. There's no such thing as too much enthusiasm when it comes to being somebody's friend.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Taste Bud Jessica. And I'm calling because I want to thank you, Kathleen, for your recommendation of Mayhem. I'm actually about halfway through it, and I needed to pause the movie and say thank you. Also, this is the first time that I'm using the Shudder Network. I just got, like, the 7-day free trial, and I definitely am going to keep it for at least through the spooky season, which is coming up. And I would love both of your recommendations for, like, the top 10, 15, like, spooky season movies that you think are, like, the must-watch movies for this spooky season or any spooky season. So I would love for you to talk about that on the pod or on one of like the live video things like at night. Love you girls. Thanks for the recommendations as always. So excited for the spooky season. Woo-woo!
Hello, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Devin. It's been a while since I've called because I've been catching up. I had a baby and this whole, you know, pandemic thing. But I have been catching up and I am thinking of the hilarious notion of singing your food to the tune of Alexander Hamilton and singing things to the tune of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it reminded me of a hilarious tweet I saw where you sing Emily Dickinson poetry to the tune of the Pokemon theme song. For instance, because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just the cells and immortality. Pokemon! So anyway, I just had to share that with you because it's a treasure trove of hilarity on ye olde Twitter. So I love you guys. You're the best. And catching up after all of these big life-changing things has been so wonderful. And I feel like I never left. Love you. Bye.
Hi, this is Erica. I'm a Taste Bud, I guess, from Austin. And I just had to stop the most recent bonus episode because you're talking about Buffy and I love Buffy. I know there must be other mega fans like me and among the listeners, the movie that was done a couple of years before the TV series is sort of canon of the show. So yes, Buffy was a Slayer before she moved to Sunnydale. Doesn't really get mentioned that much. And also, if you like the show and if you're going to keep watching it, I highly recommend checking out the podcast Buffering the Vampire Slayer.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's your girl, Vanessa, from Wisconsin. So this message is for Kathleen. I love you, by the way, Bethany, but this message is for Kathleen. Kathleen, I know that you always mention Grey's Anatomy mostly every podcast now. So I have severe anxiety. I just been diagnosed with it. And I don't like starting new shows. But guess what? I started Grey's Anatomy. And I want to tell you, I love you and I hate you at the same time because I am on season 2, episode 8. And I have cried more than 40 times already. But I love it because I work in the health field. I'm an eye doctor's assistant, but like, but they're getting shit right and it makes me happy. Okay, guys, I love you so much. Thank you for being so fucking amazing and basically saving. You have saved my life multiple times and you don't even know. Okay, thank you. Bye.